and welcome to SwissInfo.ch's programme for May the 24th. I'm Thomas Stevens.
If there's one country that has had the best of immigration, it's Switzerland. It has benefited, I think, mostly from compared to all other countries of immigration, because it was able to attract the brightest. It was a win-win situation, of course, for everybody, also for the foreigners.
Patrick Sertens, a Belgian director of an online bank who works in Geneva, giving Switzerland an expat on the back. But while Swiss companies might welcome foreign workers with open arms, not all locals do the same. Recent referendums and xenophobic poster campaigns are threatening to make qualified expats have second thoughts about moving to Switzerland, turning what Sertens describes as a win-win situation into a lose-lose situation. In this programme, we'll look at various issues involving expats, including legal concerns following voters' recent decision to limit EU immigration, and what Switzerland is actually like for new arrivals. We'll also hear about one of the most successful expats ever, Boston-born children's author and illustrator Richard Scarry. But before we go any further, we should clear up a central issue. Who is an expat? The dictionary definition is a person who lives outside their native country. But this obviously covers everyone from refugees and asylum seekers to bankers and their partners who might just be staying for a couple of years. I asked Oded Ofek, the Israeli co-founder of Glocals.com, an English-language Geneva-based online community, how he defines expat.
Honestly, we define it pretty much the same way. Anyone who's not living in his home country, and we don't really get deeply into has he already immigrated or is he here for a few years. We know that the large majority of our members are here on limited time contracts, usually about 3 years. And some of them actually end up staying longer or immigrating. But for us, anyone who is not originally from here and is now here and working, he's an expat.
Ofek adds that 95% of Glocal's 110,000 members, who come from more than 150 countries, work for large multinationals and the United Nations. But there are also students, au pairs, and so-called trailing spouses. So expats come in many shapes, sizes, and levels of celebrity. Many famous people have spent significant parts of their lives in Switzerland. For example, Lenin, Einstein, Audrey Hepburn, and Charlie Chaplin, all of whom feature in Swiss Info's Extraordinary Expat series, whose latest member is one of my personal heroes, the Boston-born illustrator Richard Scarry. The creator of the phenomenally successful Busy Town and its animal inhabitants, such as Huckle Cat and Lowly Worm, died in 1994, but spent his last 25 years living and working in the exclusive Bernese resort of Gstaad. I spoke to Scarry's son, also called Richard but known as Huck after Huckleberry Finn, who told me how the family used to go on interrailing and skiing holidays in Europe when he was a boy. And then one day
I think my father said, you know, it would be great if we could spend a little bit more time in Europe, maybe a year or two. And so that's what they did. They packed their bags, they rented the house in Connecticut, and we came over literally with just suitcases. When I was 15, this was in 1968, and moved to Lausanne, where I think my father wanted to be near the mountains because he liked to ski and he liked to go hiking in the mountains. And yeah. I think they chose Lausanne partly because there was a school that I could go to. There was sort of a toss-up between Lausanne and Geneva. And I think they chose French Switzerland simply because I think that the thought of learning German from scratch was just too daunting for them. And they felt, I think, more comfortable trying to learn French.
So that was the first step. But how did they end up in Gstaad, a resort better known as a playground for playboys such as Gunter Sachs, Richard Burton and Roger Moore?
Well, we lived in Lausanne and in Uschi, down near the lake. It was very, very nice. And we used to go up to the mountains on weekends. My father had bought a wonderful big black Mercedes car when he moved over, and he loved driving that car. And we drove up virtually every valley in the Valais, and I think many in the Val d'Aosta and through the Bernese Oberland. And one day, I guess similar to his thought of spending a year in Switzerland, he thought, well, maybe it would be fun to actually have a place up in the mountains. And so we looked around many places, and we were very lucky to find this little chalet up in Gstaad, in the village, which he could afford at the time. And we used to spend weekends up there, and eventually his weekends became longer and longer until finally they didn't go back down to the house in Lausanne anymore.
An Alpine influence can be seen in several of Richard Scarry's characters. For example, Huckelkat wears lederhosen, and Lowly Worm sports a Tyrolean hat. But what about Switzerland?
In many of his books are actual buildings from Bern, from Murten or Morat. I still have actually a little booklet of postcards that he collected. And it's quite a thick little booklet. And I have that. And it's filled with buildings from Switzerland, churches and bourgeois houses, town halls, things like that. And if you look in a number of his books, you'll find chalets and Bernese churches. And in a book called Funniest Storybook Ever, towards the end, I think, where the Father Cat, I think, is chasing a runaway car, there's actually the intersection down at Ouchy in Lausanne, where there's the newspaper stand where my father would buy his Herald Tribune in the morning, and it's exactly the way it looks down there.
So what was it about Switzerland that Richard Scarry appreciated so much?
I know that he loved, like everybody, the beauty of Switzerland. There are very, very few places in Switzerland which aren't interesting and beautiful, much like Italy, I would also like to point out. It's just travel around, and there are always fun and interesting or beautiful things to look at. I think that he also found that the people were very friendly and engaging. I know that he enjoyed Ingstad, particularly that people were speaking all sorts of languages and lots of people spoke English with him, and he simply felt at home.
Huck Scarry talking about his father, Richard. Unfortunately, not all expats find Switzerland as idyllic or welcoming as the Scarrys. On February the 9th, 50.3% of Swiss voters approved an initiative to limit EU immigration. The move by the right-wing Swiss People's Party, known for its anti-foreign and anti-EU agenda, calls for reintroduction of quotas, as well as a national preference when filling job vacancies and restrictions of immigrants' rights to social benefits. The government is currently working out how to implement the initiative. The result triggered a wave of uncertainty among Switzerland's expats, as Glocal's co-founder Oded Ofek remembers.
My reaction, and very, very, very strong reaction from our members on Glocals, was in the beginning confusion and fear. You know, it's something that there was a little bit of information put out there. There was a vote, a referendum. The Swiss are not going to accept any more new people, and that's it. And everyone here was a little bit freaking out. You know, what does this mean for me? If I'm on a C permit, am I going to be kicked out next year? If I'm on a B, am I going to be kicked out? Are they going to renew my contract? There was a lot of confusion and a lot of fear. And we actually saw this, and we organized a conference with Mr. Pierre Maudet, the Geneva's Minister of Economy and Security, who was kind enough to actually give us a couple of hours of his time. We organized a conference with him and with our members. And he answered some of the questions about what this means and what exactly happened and how it's seen. And I think the main point we got from that was just that it's still very, very open. You know, no one really knows exactly what this means. They haven't decided on really the day-to-day issues and how it's going to affect us. There's a ton of uncertainty. So sometimes uncertainty creates more fear. So for a lot of people, they still don't know what's going to happen with me next year. But the gist of it seems to be that if you're already here and you're sticking within the parameters of your visa and you have a job and everything, you should be okay. For new people, we don't know yet what it means.
The Glocals conference was attended by around 200 people. One of them, Aurélie Perrin, a Swiss immigration consultant who advises on work and residence permits, was concerned that big companies could relocate abroad.
What we see is that the companies who are our clients, some of them have a majority of expatriates in their staff. So of course, if it and especially of European nationals. So of course, if it would become very complicated for them to hire these people, which they need sometimes really because these competencies or the expertise doesn't exist in Switzerland, for them that would have a massive impact. And some may consider seriously to relocate to another country.
Andrea Delanoi, a Romanian-born manager at Spouse Career Centre, which provides career advice for husbands or wives of international employees, also thought the unpredictability of direct democracy might make businesses question Switzerland as a location.
I think the political climate has an impact on multinational or on businesses when they decide to come here. If they start thinking of how we're going to staff our companies, how this direct democracy influences so much, It's a brilliant democracy type, let's say, but for businesses, I believe, it's a personal view, I believe that it's somewhat worrisome because they don't have any control. They discuss with the government in Bern, and then there is a vote, popular vote, and then everything changes.
But for your average expat in the street, and I'm speaking from experience here, there are many worse places to live than Switzerland. Not that new arrivals don't face certain challenges, mind you. For Oded Ofek, these come in two phases.
You know, when the expats come here, they have the basic worries that expats have everywhere. Maybe here they're a little bit stronger because of the cost of living. So when they first come, it's housing and schools for their kids, if they have it, if they have the kids. Then it quickly becomes social needs. You know, how do you integrate socially into a place that's not necessarily, doesn't necessarily speak your language and is not as, let's say, high energy or welcoming as, say, in New York or the UK, where it's kind of easier to meet people. I think those are the main ones. And then probably quality of living. You know, once you get the immediate things out of the way, how do you find the right work-life balance here and live a good life with the high cost of living here?
Geneva isn't the first foreign city Ofek has lived in.
I'll tell you, I was an expat in the U.S. before that. I lived in for 8 years. My situation was very different because I was single and young there, and now I'm married with a kid and old. So it's a bit different. But overall, I think in a place like New York, it's more geared towards welcoming new people. You know, there's a ton of expats there, and it just seems easier to mix and meet there than it is in Switzerland in the beginning. In the beginning in Switzerland, it seems a little bit harder. People are maybe a little bit more closed. But after being here, you know, for about a year, I can say Switzerland is a lot more welcoming than I thought. Mm-hmm. So maybe the biggest difference that I can find is just in the language. New York, of course, the U.S., it's English. So if you speak English, everything is easy. Here, I was a little bit surprised after hearing for a year from expats how you can get along here without knowing French. I was surprised at how much you really can't get along here without knowing French. And the one thing I tell all new expats coming is really take the energy and take the time to learn the language, because it makes a huge difference in your life here.
In addition to learning a local language, Ofek has other tips for expats wanting to get the most out of their time in Switzerland.
I would say one, make sure you're...
Joined locals.
Salary. Joined locals, that's the first one, second one, and third one. The fourth one would be make sure your salary is high enough to really live here. Understand how much things are going to cost. Because sometimes you don't take into consideration that you have to pay more than 1,000 francs insurance, probably health insurance if you're a family, and that schools are expensive. Really find out how much life is going to cost you and make sure you're making enough. Second thing is learn the language. Third thing, I guess, is just make a small adjustment in your head. Know that you're coming somewhere different. And don't keep trying to change Switzerland and keep saying how wrong they're doing things. Try to really enjoy how they do things here and the difference, and really try to learn from it. And the fourth, I guess, is just open yourself up to meeting new people, to new experiences. Look at it as an adventure and get out of your comfort zone.
Thanks for listening. Read more about these stories and other Swiss news and views at swissinfo.ch. I'm Thomas Stevens.